844 at WFIR. It's Academy Award time again Sunday night as the best movies, actors, and those behind the cameras for 2019 is judged by Academy voters are honored. There are 8 nominees for Best Picture.
You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
All right, what's the matter, partner?
It's official, old buddy. Well, it has been.
Better watch. There's a lot of tough guys around here. Did he tell you? You're not afraid of tough guys, are you?
I want to be an artist in Rome and be the best painter in the world.
That's what you want too, isn't it, Joe? To be a famous writer.
Yes, but it sounds so crass when she says it.
My girls have a way of getting into mischief.
Lucy, you talk to another.
What I love about Charlie,
he loves being a dad. He loves all the things you're supposed to hate, like waking up at night.
She knows when to push me and when to leave me alone.
He never lets other people keep him from what he wants to do.
You're a man hater. Learn to get along with the boys. You're sexy, but you're too much work. I have a whole list.
Will other women come forward?
You have a brother in the 2nd Battalion.
Yes, sir.
They're walking into a trap. Your orders are to deliver a message calling off tomorrow morning's attack. If you fail, it will be a massacre.
Well, you just heard clips from Joker, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, The Irishman, Little Women, Parasite, Marriage Story, Bombshell, and 1917 in that order. And joining WFIR anchor reporter G. Morano and me in studio this morning is Brent Stevens, the host of At the Movies here on WFIR in the Cine Minute. And a Hollins University professor also sitting in is our morning anchor and movie buff, Ian Price. Brent, good to see you on this side of the microphone. Good to see you this morning. How are you?
I'm great, Joey. Thanks.
Well, before we talk about these films, Brent, and your picks, how was 2019 movie-wise in your estimation? Was there anything really new or even groundbreaking? Thoughts?
I think it was a great year for movies, and I'm not just saying that. I like 4 or 5 of these nominees better than the winners, really, of the last couple of years.
Let's start at the top and work down to Best Picture. Your Best Picture pick is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Why, and what might be a dark horse on Sunday night?
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to this or 1917. I've got a real trepidations about this pick because I did some research, and the last 5 years, no film has won Best Picture that's been released that early. I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out in June, and I think Shape of Water was the earliest after that with September. So, you know, the recency effect is a big one with Hollywood, and 1917 is cresting at the right time. But I'm still going to go with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because I think Hollywood is obsessed with itself, and it's my favorite movie this year.
How do you think that the Golden Globes picking 1917 and like 1917 getting the earlier awards, how's that going to affect the Oscars' decision? Are they going to avoid 1917 because the Golden Globes picked it?
You know, it's a great question. There are completely different voting blocks, right? The Hollywood Foreign Press picks the Golden Globes, and so it's a pretty different demographic, and I think it's a toss-up, right? I mean, I will say this. The Academy voters tend to skew older. They're going to remember 1969 when Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out. So I think that factors in.
Has Quentin Tarantino been nominated before?
Yes.
He has. Okay. So, there's sort of that thing in Hollywood to where you pay homage, basically, to someone who's been around a while. But do you think this is a legitimate, if it wins, it's a legitimate pick for Best Picture?
I mean, it's my favorite movie this year. I think it's really, I've always been a lukewarm Tarantino fan. Sometimes I think it's because he inserts himself into the narrative, literally as an actor. But this one, I think, is really him at the top of his powers.
All right, we're talking to Brent Stevens, the host of At the Movies and the Cine Minute, the Hollins University professor, about the Oscars coming up. Let's go to Best Actor. You like Joaquin Phoenix in Joker. Talk about that. Does Hollywood sort of like these tour de forces?
They do. And actually, there's a couple things here. First of all, I think this is going to be the most boring 4 actor categories that the Hollywood's ever had. I mean, you were saying a minute ago, Ian, about the earlier awards. All of the same 4 actors have won the big awards all the way through. And so, again, I think Joaquin's a lock. But you know what's got me thinking about is, how much are you rewarded as an actor for transforming yourself? Because Joaquin does, right? He loses all this weight and, you know, getting into the headspace of the Joker. I mean, don't even get me started, right?
Did Charlize Theron, did she win for Monster?
Yeah, she won for Monster.
And that was a total transformation.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And you also like Renee Zellweger for Judy as Best Actress, and she did a phenomenal job as Judy Garland. So you think that's pretty much a lock?
I think it's a lock. And the flip side of that is Brad Pitt pretty much plays himself in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and he's definitely going to win, I think, supporting. In fact, he's sort of done an interesting PR campaign. They had an Oscars breakfast, and he wore this little sticker that says, "Hi, my name is Brad," as if the whole world doesn't know.
Right?
We're speaking with Brent Stevens, host of At the Movies and the Cine Minute. Now, let's talk about supporting actor Brad Pitt from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I've already seen him at least give one or two speeches.
Yeah.
Does he have any competition in Best Supporting Actor?
I mean, again, I think it's a lock. I think all four acting categories are a lock. You know, I have some other character actors that I think are interesting, but... Yeah.
You know, Laura Dern, Marriage Story, Best Supporting Actress. You like, who do you like for Best Supporting Actress?
Yeah, I mean, Laura Dern, yeah. Right, yeah.
In the Marriage Story, she was great as this smarmy lawyer. And I'll just say anybody who's ever been in a divorce situation, she made your skin crawl, yeah. But she's totally in Scarlett Johansson's corner. That's what she's supposed to be. But she really does a great job. And it's sort of a comeback, I guess, for Laura Dern. It's sort of been in the background, but this is one of the most prominent roles she's had in years.
It is. The only other thing that she's done recently that's like kind of crested is Big Little Lies, which she's also amazing in that. But you're right. I mean, I think she's kind of reinvented herself a little bit.
I wanted to ask you about, go back to Joaquin Phoenix. You know, when he accepted his BAFTA award, the British equivalent, he criticized the lack of diversity in the film choices. And I guess you could say the same for the Academy Award nominations as far as lack of films of color. Just Mercy, Queen and Slim come to mind, Harriet, actor categories. Do you think Hollywood might be a little bit on edge, maybe expecting him to say something else if he does win the Oscar on Sunday?
Yeah, and I think he's got a legitimate beef. I mean, Cynthia Erivo for Harriet is the only actor, I think, that's nominated of color. And I think there's some real, real, real big glaring omissions. First of all, they only picked 8 films. They could have gone with as many as 10. I think so there's a couple of films that should be on there, I think, that aren't. But the big one to me is Greta Gerwig. I mean, Little Women was one of my favorite movies. Probably
she was
top
not
10
nominated
of all time.
For director.
She's not nominated for director. I think because of that, she'll get adapted screenplay. It's almost like a booby prize. But she should be nominated for best director.
Before I throw it back to Joey, I want to ask one question. Director, best director, Quentin Tarantino. I think that's your choice for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Again, I'm rolling with Hollywood being in love with itself.
Is that usually how it goes with like the best film and the best director, usually from the same one for the Oscars, or do they like to try to give one as a consolation to someone else who was close?
I think they do try to give it to different. It's not as often as you think that they go hand in hand. And sometimes I'm kind of a little bit suspicious of that, right? If you give it to two different films, it's got more marketing value, right? The more people can say, okay, well, this picture got best Oscar or best director. I don't know, but that's the cynical me.
Giving the best director to somebody who didn't have best film is kind of insulting to the cast.
Yeah, that's true. Right. Well, that's what the Greta Gerwig, right? I mean, like someone critic said something along the lines, does the Academy think that Saoirse Ronan and Florence Pugh, who are nominated for actress and supporting actress, directed themselves?
Little Women, right, right.
All right, we've got our friend Brent Stevens in studio with us from Holland University, of course, host of At the Movies and the Cine Minute. We're talking about the Oscars coming up on Sunday. Now, Brent, your choice for cinematography is?
Oh, this is, I think, a lock. I mean, that is where 1917 is amazing. Uh-huh. I mean, some of the work that gets done there, it looks like it's all one shot. And so, again, you kind of have a situation with Dunkirk, which didn't win for Best Picture, but won for editing because it also has a really interesting way. It's out of order chronologically, which, you know, is a great trick.
This is Roger Deakins, his name, and he won 2 years ago for Blade Runner 2049, and that was his 15th nomination, but that was the first time he'd actually won.
Yeah, he has an amazing body of work. He did a lot of work for the Coen brothers, like Fargo and Brother, Where Art Thou, that he was nominated for. He also, though, got nominated for American Beauty with Sam Mendes, who was the director of 1917 here.
Which was a great film.
Yeah.
And just to talk about briefly the technique in 1917, where basically it's like one take, where basically they go get their orders to go find this guy's brother on the German offensive, and they follow him all the way through the trenches, up over into no man's land, and it just, you start to feel like you're right behind them in line.
You do. You're a companion. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, too, about that is that Deakins was talking about if a line gets blown, right? Because it's not all one shot. It's, there's some tricks there. But you heard that wonderful piece from Colin Firth at the lead-in, that wonderful little monologue. That comes with about 5 minutes into the conversation. And so if he doesn't get that right, that whole footage is ruined.
Hmm. Original screenplay, you like, was it Rian Johnson?
Knives
Out.
This is just super personal. No one's calling for that, but I think it is like the slickest screenplay of the year.
You think he's going to kind of build off the momentum like Last Jedi, a Star Wars movie that actually was critically acclaimed, like things like that? You think Rian Johnson's got the magic touch with the Oscars?
I hope so. I mean, I'm one of the few people that liked Last Jedi better than the Abrams directed other two, but it's because I like his kind of quirky take on things. But you know, I mean, he can pretty much do what he wants to now,
right?
Has a Star Wars movie, did it get nominated for anything? Special effects or something? Or visual effects? Yeah, Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker got nominated.
And maybe a sound editing award.
Right, okay. Mm. We'll talk about, we have a couple minutes left. We'll talk with Brent Stevens from Hollins University, also at the Movies and Cinema. And two originals are in the Best Picture category, Marriage Story and Irishman. Is the Two Popes in there also?
No, okay, not for Best Picture.
But the Marriage Story and Irishman, both good movies. They had very limited releases in the theaters, but they're basically Netflix movies.
Yep.
You said there's sort of a bias against that as far as, is that something that's going to dissipate over time? Is maybe a younger generation of voters come into play or what?
So first of all, the rumor is Netflix spent $100 million promoting those two films in this, you know, for your consideration season, right? So they're definitely, they want those awards to claim legitimacy. The only reason that they are, I think, doing theatrical runs is because the Academy says the only way you can be eligible for these awards is if you have theatrical runs. So again, this is a direct threat to going, you know, to the Grandin and all movie theaters. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Scarlett Johansson, has she ever been nominated before? I don't think so. And she's nominated for two acting awards this year, one supporting actor for Jojo Rabbit and another one for A Marriage Story for one of the leads. She does great work in both movies.
She does. She's a really, really great. I mean, and I'm excited about the Black Widow film on the other side of things.
Mm-hmm, right. I actually thought Jojo Rabbit might get a nomination for Best Picture. I thought that was a really interesting.
It is. It's nominated for Best Picture.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But no chance of winning.
I don't think so. It's interesting, though, if you look at the Best Picture nominees, there's eight, right? Anyway, there's only two that are set in the present. And I think that's really interesting, right? Like, maybe with all the duress in the world, we're especially this year, we're looking for escapes. Because only A Marriage Story and Parasite are contemporary. Everything else is set in the past.
We're talking with Brent Stevens, host of the Cine Minute and At the Movies. One question here, Brent. Year after year, there's more of these films that are for Best Picture on Netflix. I mean, you talked about the money they're spending. Is this growing trend going to keep happening? I mean, it even got a shout out in Ricky Gervais's monologue might as well call them the Netflix Awards.
You know, it's definitely going to keep happening with Netflix. What's going to be interesting now is that the Disney streaming service, because they are very much invested in theater, right? I mean, they've got the big series. They've got Star Wars. They've got, you know, all those big series of the Marvel movies. So they're very much invested in the big screen experience. It'll be interesting to see if they start dipping their toe in original movies that only you can see streamed on Disney Plus.
I should mention that the Oscar preview party at the Grandin is going to be on Sunday night. And are you doing trivia next week?
No, I'm not.
But the Oscar party, you know, Grandin used to do this, and then they're rolling it out again with the red carpet and all that. About a minute left. Any real surprises? Anything? Any dark horses in any of the major categories that might pop up on Sunday night?
You know, the Parasite. I mean,
talk about Parasite. It's a Korean language movie with subtitles, and you really like that movie.
I mean, if that movie were in English, I think it would be sweeping a lot of stuff. Again, but you know, people are averse to subtitles, right? But it's the slickest screenplay. I mean, it's got great tricks in it, great twists and turns. One of those movies that you can't really figure out where it's going.
And is it about a parasite or something? Or
it's about a family of grifters, right?
Okay.
And they sort of slowly insinuate themselves into this rich Hong Kong families' lives.
Oh, interesting. We're going to have to leave it there. Brent Stevens, host of At the Movies and Cine Minute, and also a Hollins University professor with his Oscar preview. And Brent, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much.